Well, good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome here to First Rathfrail this morning on this Remembrance Sunday morning. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, you are very welcome indeed. And if you're watching online via our YouTube channel, good morning to you and welcome to our morning of worship. Just a reminder to the children that the children will leave for Sunday school after the singing of the children's hymn, and the creche room facilities is available in the minor hall. This afternoon is the annual Remembrance Day parade and church service here in Rathfrailin. The parade will arrive at Church Square for the wreath-laying ceremony at the cenotaph at 3:30 p.m., followed by a service in St. John's Parish Church at 4 p.m. Our Boys and Girls Brigade companies will be in attendance. Just a reminder for session that we meet tomorrow evening in the Morrison Room at 7:30. And on Wednesday evening is a midweek prayer meeting Bible study led by our minister, the Reverend Moody. On Thursday morning, the Thursday Fellowship group will meet here in the church hall at 10 a.m. And the speaker on Thursday morning will be Valerie Hanna of Mission Aviation Fellowship. GB and BB will be as normal on Thursday and Friday evenings respectively. And then just a note for your diary for next weekend, next Saturday evening, there will be a gospel sing-along event here in the church at 7:30 p.m. If you remember, that was a very successful evening last year with Graham Murphy on piano. New Harmony, the music group, will be here, and the epilogue will be brought to us by Alan Hanna from Kilkeel. Next Sunday, prayer meeting at 11 a.m. in the Morrison Room, followed by morning worship here at 11:30. And a reminder for the young people, on Sunday evening of next week, the 19th, Youth Fellowship will meet in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. Also a reminder for anyone who wishes to contribute to the shoebox appeal, if you could leave your shoeboxes in the vestibule today, please, or get them to George and Elizabeth Dawson by tomorrow. The closing date is tomorrow. Next Saturday morning, Rathfrailin High School Scripture Union is holding a coffee morning to help raise money for the SU Mission Week next year. So if you can go along and support the high school, they would very much appreciate that. And also in the vestibule are a couple of leaflets for you to pick up on the way out. Two events that are coming up. Our rural chaplain, Kenny Hanna, is organising carols at the Co-op, and that is on the 8th of December at 7:30 p.m. down in the Co-op. So if you're free, go to that and take a wee card with it for your friends and neighbours. And also our neighbouring congregation of Glasgow Presbyterian Church is holding a Christmas tree festival on Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th of November. And that's from 2 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. daily. And again, there's leaflets out in the vestibule for you to take home with you. And finally, just to say, it was great sadness and with regret, we announced the passing of Mrs. Dorothy McCracken, formerly of Redbridge Road, Rathfrailin. Dorothy's funeral took place to the graveyard yesterday at 1 p.m. We extend our deepest sympathy to Dorothy's family at this, their time of grieving loss. Thank you, and I hand over to the Reverend Moody.
Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship here in First Rathfrailin. In Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 23, we read these words: "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning." We come to worship a God today who knows us, who cares for us, who is always there for us at all times, in times of joy and times of sadness. So we gather to worship him. Let us stand and sing our first hymn, "O God, our help in ages past." In our act of remembrance today, Mr. David Hanna will be playing a lament on the bagpipes. So just to let you know, that will be occurring in a few minutes. For now, I would ask you, please be upstanding. Let us remember with gratitude those who in the cause of peace and the service of their fellow men died for their country in time of war. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we give our today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this day we remember those in the armed forces who have served our nation and fought and died so that we and so many others might live in freedom. Lord, we are saddened, but at the same time so thankful as we remember the lives that were lost, the cost that so many paid, so that the world might not live in fear of oppression and violence. Lord, we remember those today who serve in far-off places. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would shield them in their time of danger, make them strong to defend the right. Lord, be with their families, help them in their time of despair, comfort them, and comfort those who have been injured. Lord, be with them and help those who are caring for them. Lord, we pray for others in our own country that have served, putting their lives in the line day after day so we can have freedom. Lord, we thank you for that service. Lord, we also remember and are so thankful for the fact that you did not spare your own son, but you gave him for us so we might be free, so we might have eternal life. Lord, we are thankful. Lord, continue with us today as we will continue to remember those who died so we might have freedom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In our Bible reading today, we turn to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 2, and we will be reading from verse 13 to verse 17. This is a passage entitled, The Calling of Levi, commencing to read at verse 13. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the young ones would like to go up to the front, I'm going to come down and speak to everybody from there.
Thank you. Now, as you will no doubt, see all around us, it's a special Sunday today. If you look at the screen, you will see, hopefully, maybe in a little minute, some people are wearing something different today, aren't they? What are people wearing? Yeah, they're wearing a poppy. And the poppy reminds us of something very important, doesn't it? What does the poppy remind us of? Yeah?
People who died in the war.
People who died so we can have freedom. Those who have served in the military. Those who have fought. Those who have defended us so we can have freedom. Those who continue to die so we can enjoy the freedom. Do you feel free? Do you feel free? Do you? You all look very tired this morning. Maybe you don't. Well, you have freedom. You have an amazing freedom because of what people have done for you in the past, what people have done for you, and what people have done for me in the past. We have freedom to come to church and worship. Well, maybe you're just told you have to come, but we can come to worship. Because of what people have done for us in the past, because of what some people are continuing to do for us, you are free to go to school. Isn't that great? It is great, because some people don't have that freedom. And as you get a bit older, you will learn how wonderful and what a privilege that actually is. As you grow up, you will be free to choose what you want to do. You will be free to choose where to live because of those who have paid the price already, for those who have fought for your freedom. Because freedom isn't free. It's not. The freedom that you and I enjoy today, we should be so thankful for it. But it was paid for with a price. Many men and women put their lives on the line for you and for me, so we could have this freedom. Are you thankful? You should be thankful. You should be very thankful, as I should continually be thankful. There are people here this morning who had loved ones who gave their lives so we can enjoy that freedom. We should be very thankful for that. That's part of what we do this day. We remember all those who paid a price so you and I can enjoy freedom. Now, the Bible tells us this. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Oops. He said this in John 8, verse 36. He said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus was talking about himself. What did Jesus do so you could be free? Even before that, what do you and I need to be free from? Oh, yes. Sorry?
Sin.
From our sin. From our sin, from the wrong that we have done. The Bible says we need to be set free from that. Because of our disobedience, we are separated from God. We cannot enjoy his blessings. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's scary. But the Bible says God loved us so much that he wants you and I to be free from our sins, so we can enjoy his blessings now and then forever. That's how much God loves you. And for that to happen, the Bible says Jesus had to give his life. Remember, Jesus gave his life for you willingly because he loves each one of you so much. He died for you so you can be set free from your sin, so you can enjoy him now and forever. He paid the price, so you and I don't have to. We should be very thankful for that too, shouldn't we? Make sure you're trusting in Jesus so you can enjoy that freedom that he offers. This week, as we remember those who died in war, let us also remember to stop and thank God for the Lord Jesus, the one who set us free, who paid the penalty for your sin and mine, because he loved you so much. He paid that ultimate price so you can have freedom. Make sure you're enjoying that freedom as you trust in him. Make sure you're thankful for that freedom as you thank him, as we sing, as we pray. And also take time to thank God for those others that gave their lives so you can have the freedom to live your lives here. Going to school, coming to church, choosing to study what you want as you grow up, choosing to do what you want, go where you want to live because of the price that was paid, a heavy price that was paid as people gave their lives for you and for me. So we're going to pray and then we're going to sing. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again this morning, we are so thankful for those who were willing to lay their lives, to put their lives on the line for us so we can have freedom. For those who have given their lives for us in the past so we can have freedom. For those who are continually putting their lives on the line in this country and further afield so people can have freedom. Lord, we thank you for them. And we pray for those who are continually doing that, that you will protect them, help them, and strengthen them. And Lord, most of all this morning, we are thankful for Jesus, that he was willing to give his life for us so we can have eternal life, freedom from our sins. Lord, we are thankful. Amen. Now we're all going to stand and we're going to sing our children's chorus, "Be Bold, Be Strong."
No.
as we turn to pray this morning, we continue to remember those who have put their lives in the line for us. We pray for those who have lost loved ones during war. We pray for those who cannot forget what they have seen as they have put their lives on the line defending us. We pray for those impacted by wars today. I think it was 110 wars. We were told in the prayer meeting this morning that apparently are going on in this world. Perhaps we hear but one or two, but about 110 wars going on in different parts of this world today. People's lives being shattered. We pray for our armed forces today and governments today that God will give them wisdom in knowing the right thing to do at the right time. Plenty of us can talk about it, but we need to pray that they will have wisdom because the lives of those in the front line are affected directly by it. And of course, we continue to pray for all those who mourn at this time over the loss of loved ones. We pray for an end to division and hatred. And we pray for peace. Where it seems impossible, we pray to the God who can do the impossible for peace. In Psalm 46 we read, "He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.'" Let us come before our Lord and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning as we remember those who were willing to give their lives for us, for our freedom. Those who gave their lives for us and those who were and are willing to give. Lord, we remember them today. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, those whose hearts have been broken. Lord, we pray that you will help them, support them, give them the peace that your Bible talks about, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, as we pray for those who have lost loved ones, we pray for the family of Dorothy McCracken this afternoon. We pray for Beverly and Glynis and the rest of the family circle. We pray you will continue to help them at this difficult time and in the days ahead. Lord, we pray for those who have been in the midst of conflict here and across the water. Lord, we pray for those who have perhaps seen terrible things. Lord, for those who have images they just cannot unsee. Lord, we pray that you will give help and support. Lord, that you will help at the point of need. Lord, we pray for those today who are impacted by war. We pray, Lord, that you will help, that you will allow those people to get the support that they need. Lord, to get the shelter that they need. Lord, help. Medical supplies, water, all that's needed. We pray that you'll help get that through. Lord, continue to challenge us where we can continue to give in whatever way, so people that are suffering in war can have enough, so they can have their daily bread. Lord, we pray for our armed forces today, those who are out there serving, protecting. We pray for those abroad, and we pray for our own people at home, the police in our own country. We pray you will protect them, help them as they stand, and help them stand for what is right day by day. Protect them and keep them. As, Lord, they are perhaps in constant danger, Lord, we thank you for their protection, but protect them, we pray. For our governments, we pray, Lord, you will give them wisdom. Show them the right ways to go, that they will not be motivated by any selfish thoughts or motivations, but, Lord, that you will help them think of the people and make those decisions that we could not even grasp. But, Lord, in your wisdom, give it, we pray. Lord, we pray for an end to division and hatred. We do pray for peace in these countries, 110 countries, Lord, across this world, the different continents where there is war. We pray that you, who give us your Son, the Prince of Peace, will bring peace. Lord, help us to bring peace wherever we go in our situations. Help us to show your love. Help us to be unselfish in all our dealings with those around us, so people can see something of the reality of your love, even in our interactions in this incoming week. Lord, help us, we pray, to be the people you call us to be, the light in this dark world. Amen. Now we continue to worship our God as we stand and sing our next hymn, In Christ Alone. One more announcement here this afternoon. An important announcement is a change of date for the PW, now meeting on the 14th of November instead of the 21st, as previously stated. The speaker will be Wendy Brown from In Control Physiotherapy, and the title for the evening is What Every Woman Needs to Know. So, ladies, if you are free this Tuesday evening, please come. Plan to come along to that meeting. You will be warmly welcomed to that. Here we find, in Mark chapter 2, verse 13, we find Jesus again strolling along the lakeside When you look to the Gospels, you do find that he's more outside than inside. He spends more time in nature with others than in the synagogue or the temple. And as he's strolling, although those things are important, of course, but as he goes, he is able to meet people. And he sees Levi, we're told, and he calls him to follow him. Now, Levi is the son of Alphaeus, probably a brother of the disciple James, as James is also called the son of Alphaeus over in Luke 6:15. We would perhaps know this disciple by a more familiar name, and that is, of course, Matthew. He's called Matthew in his own gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. Levi probably being his Hebrew name, while Matthew being his Greek name. And it was common there in those days to have the two names. So Matthew and Levi are the same disciple, just in case that ever confuses you as you hear the list of disciples. And we're told here his profession. He is a tax collector, a collector of money. He is found here sitting at a tax booth, one of many in this region. We find him here sitting on a major trade route. You know, tax is not a new invention. Tax has been taken for many a year, and perhaps it has always held the same excitement for those who have to give it. In Bible times in Israel, all men apparently between 14 and 65 paid tax. Women between the ages of 12 to 65 paid tax. So it seemed they started at a younger age for some reason. They paid tax just for being alive. Then they had so many other taxes to pay. There was ground tax to pay. 1/10 of all grain, 1/5 of all wine and oil produced had to be given. There was tax on your fish. Income tax, 1% of someone's annual income was given as well. There was taxes for using roads even there. Harbour tax, sales tax, import, export tax. Apparently there was a tax paid on a cart. Each wheel was taxed separately somehow. So there was tax, and that is part of what Levi was doing at the side of the road. So you can imagine, he wouldn't necessarily have been a popular man with everyone around him. It had to be done, and Levi was one of those who chose to do it. Now, part of the reason it would have been so unpopular then was, well, tax collectors in Israel were hated and despised. There's no other way to say it, because they were seen as those that worked for the enemy. Tax collectors in Israel worked for the Roman government. The Romans collected their taxes through a system called tax farming, and that apparently was like our franchises today. They were given out to the highest bidder. Different people bidded for the right to be able to collect taxes. So Levi would have won the bid for this specific area. Tax collectors worked for the Roman government, and for some reason they were not considered the most honest of people in those days. Very different today, of course. But then they would have taken a lot more money, perhaps, than they should have. They had the habit of not posting up the rules. So the rules were like shifting sand. They changed, and how much tax you had to pay changed on who you were, your relationship with the tax collector, and perhaps even the tax collector's mood at the time. So that did not always go well. You never knew what you were going to pay. And apparently there was some dishonesty with the tax collectors then as well. It's no surprise they were shunned by the religious-minded Jews. Indeed, apparently they were excluded from the synagogue. They were not allowed to come in to the synagogue. They were not allowed to serve as a judge ever, and they were never allowed to be a witness in court because they were considered so unworthy. They were shunned and despised by the people of God. But as we find out here quite quickly in this passage, they were despised by many people, but not by God. Certainly not by the Son of God. We find here that Jesus cared for this tax collector, for Levi, even asked him to be one of his disciples. And we find that a common theme with the Gospels. Jesus continually showed love and care for those that others despised. The leper that he healed earlier in Mark chapter 1 would have been avoided by the religious leaders. They wouldn't have gone near him. Jesus did. The Samaritan lady Jesus found at the well, no respectable Jew of the day would even have spoken to her. Jesus did. Gave time to her. You see, Jesus saw people's intrinsic value. He realized they were created by God, made in the image of God. They had value no matter what other people thought. And the Bible reminds us of that. No one is beyond the grace of God. No one. Perhaps those people you're thinking of even now, that you may think, how can God love them? The Bible says God has time for them too. Those people we think of as unworthy, we need to remember, because of our sin, without Christ, we are seen as unworthy by God. We are all sinners by nature. None of us deserve the blessings of God. If we look down on others, we really haven't grasped what we are by nature. We are all sinners. We have all rebelled against God by nature. By nature, there is no hope. But in Christ, there is hope for all. In Christ, there is hope for absolutely everyone. Never think someone is beyond hope. Jesus gives hope to the hopeless, and we should be thankful for that. Because due to our sin, we have no hope, would have no hope. But in Christ, we have perfect hope. So we need to understand that. As we look out, as we think of others, and perhaps are tempted to think, there's no hope for those people. In Christ, there is hope. We need to keep praying, keep taking the opportunities that come to us to reach out to others. Because in Christ, there is hope. There is hope for all, so we dare not exclude anyone. We need to be going to others, showing God's love, taking opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Jesus sees the hidden potential in this man's life. He saw what no one else could see. He did not only see what he was like, and he knew 100% what Levi was like. Those dodgy deals perhaps he had done, so some didn't have to pay as much tax as others. Jesus knew it all. He saw the favoritism in Levi, who he would allow to pay a little less, who he would make pay more. He saw what Levi was like, but he also saw what he could become. Centuries ago, a large slab of marble was taken into the city of Florence, Italy. The sculptor, Donatello, had intended to use it to produce a statue of an Old Testament prophet. But when he saw it, he refused it at once. Too many imperfections. It wasn't good enough, he decided, to make anything from, to shape anything from. So there it lay in the cathedral yard, a useless block, or so it seemed. Because one day another sculptor caught sight of this flawed block. But as he examined it, there rose in his mind something of immense beauty, and he resolved to sculpt it. And for 2 years, this artist worked on this work of art. And finally, on January the 25th, 1504, the greatest artist of the day assembled to see what he had made of this despised and rejected block, ready to ridicule him. But as the veil dropped to the floor, the statue was met with a chorus of praise. Because it was a masterpiece. It was Michelangelo's David that was formed from that flawed block, one of the greatest works of art, apparently, the world has ever known. You see, in God's eyes, there are no useless blocks, no people that God cannot work with and do amazing things. God is in the business of taking us, those who have rebelled against him, and as we humble ourselves before him, trusting in Christ, he is in the business of taking us, using us, molding us, equipping us into the people he wants us to be. Look what he did with Saul, someone who was out murdering Christians, meeting Christ on the road to Damascus, transformed, willing to give up his own life for the Lord, taking the gospel and changing so many people's lives. God takes those that come to him, submitting their life to him through Christ, and transforms them through the Holy Spirit, little by little, changing them into the likeness of his Son. Jesus would use this tax collector to do amazing things for him and also for us. Through this tax collector, we have one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, of course. When you make yourself available to God, as you have come to him trusting in Christ, seeking his forgiveness for your sins, he will take you as you come, as you follow him, and transform you little by little into the person that he wants you to be. He will equip you. He will give you the gifts, the talents that you need to do whatever he calls you to do. And that he will do for anyone else also that comes bowing the knee to him, trusting in Christ, no matter who they are. Jesus still calls out to people, follow me, follow me. That call still goes out today. Make sure you answer the call. Make sure you give your life to Christ. Make sure you put your trust in him and start following him day by day, seeking to live your life for him. Levi did. We're told here, as soon as Levi heard, he got up and followed him. It must be said that Levi did give up so much, didn't he? He had that franchise, as it were, collecting tax in that area. He gave it all up at that point. Andrew, Peter, James and John, they could go back to fishing. In fact, sometimes they did. That was it for Matthew. He could not go back to tax collecting. He gave up everything to follow Christ. There's always a cost. When you put your trust in Christ, there's always a cost, things he will want you to leave behind, things he will want you to do, but it's a cost worth taking when you consider what he offers in his Son. Jesus goes, we're told, and has dinner with Levi, a beautiful way to show acceptance, sitting down with him. And we're told there are other tax collectors there too, probably friends of Levi. Fantastic. That Levi wants his friends to encounter Jesus too. He's not all shy about it, not keeping it secret. Straight away, he's putting his cards on the table, as it were, to all around. He has encountered Jesus. His life has been changed. He wants others to encounter Jesus too. We're told here he had dinner with tax collectors and sinners. Well, the Bible, of course, says we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible uses that term in another way too. It uses that term to talk about those who paid no attention to the ceremonial laws in Israel. They were known as sinners. Those who had no time for them, lived their lives completely oblivious to them, the religious people would have called them sinners. And as we hear this name sinners, we are introduced at the same time to those who did pay attention to the ceremonial law, those who loved it, and that was, of course, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were like the religious police. They took Leviticus 19, verse 2 very seriously when it says, "Be holy because I am holy." They were so concerned with their own holiness and more concerned, it seemed, with the holiness of others. They kept their eye on you, making sure you did what they thought was right. And if you didn't, you would have known about it. If you broke one of their rules, you would have known. They stood for devotion to the law. They held that keeping the law was a primary religious duty. They stuck to 613 laws. Imagine that. Making sure you kept all those every day. 248 positive things you had to do. 365 things you couldn't do. You might forget. Those religious leaders would not, and they would remind you. They created many others to make sure they, and especially others, were not breaking God's law. They wanted nothing to do with what they deemed unholy, which is why they wanted nothing to do with tax collectors or sinners. Again, they wouldn't allow tax collectors to go into the synagogue. They would not even talk with them. They would not say hello to a tax collector, because in their mind, they were nothing. Disobeying God's word, so they would not even talk with them. So they were absolutely shocked that Jesus sat down and ate with them. And they were asking this question we find in Mark 2:16. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why was he doing that? They took every opportunity to throw an accusation against Jesus. Luke 7:34, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They didn't like the fact that Jesus spent time with those that they deemed unworthy, unholy. They felt it was a disgrace. They believed totally in that little phrase, birds of a feather flock together. If Jesus was with these tax collectors, he must be exactly like them. The Bible, of course, does not agree with that little proverb. Jesus heard what they were saying, and he challenged them straight away. Mark 2:17, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus reminds them very clearly why he came. He came to heal the sick. And the Bible says we all suffer. We all suffer from that disease of sin. The problem is, some do not realize that. But we all do. Every single one of us. We must accept that. Some think they are more righteous than others. Some think they don't need to go to Jesus. If someone does not realize they're sick, they will not go to the doctor. And they will not get treated. They will not get well. Similarly, only those who realize they have sinned, those who realize they can do nothing about it themselves, will come to Jesus. And when they come, they will be healed. But we need to know we suffer from that problem. What about you? Do you realize you have sinned? By yourself, you have no hope. But in Christ, there's perfect hope. So come to him for the healing that you need. Come to him so you can have your sins forgiven. Answer that call to follow him. There is great hope and acceptance when you come to Jesus. Jesus said, in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That was you and me. That's everybody by nature. That's who Jesus came for. As you realize that by nature you're lost, come to him. He will accept you. Well, the Pharisees kept sinners at arm's length and far beyond if they could get away with it. Jesus sought them out. He spent time with them. He was not afraid of being contaminated by them, as the Pharisees truly believed. Instead, Jesus came to contaminate us with the grace of God, to show what the grace of God is like. And you know what? We are called to do the same. We are called, of course, to be light in this world. We are called to be salt. We cannot do that if we keep to ourselves, if we stay inside these walls. It's good to come inside these walls as we can to worship God, but it's important as Christians to get out into this world and be the light, be the salt we're called to be. Living that Christian life, being authentic, taking the opportunity to share with others what we believe. We cannot stay silent. We should not stay silent. Most of all, we should be showing through the way we act and react each day that we are children of God, living for him, willing to pour ourselves out for others, not living for ourselves. Mark 6:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He did not say, just wait where you are for people to come to you. He said, go out. Go out and reach people wherever you are during the week, wherever you're living, wherever you're working. That's part of where you are to be a light and to be a salt, to be salt. Because those people around you, God cares for them, God loves them and wants them to know him too. He said, go out, get out there, show the world what it means to follow Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, that is, of course, John 17, where the whole chapter is Jesus praying. We read in verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus is saying he wants his disciples in the world, out there with people, and asking his Father to protect them in it. We need to stay close with our God. We need to keep praying and asking for his protection as we go out and share his love with all those around us wherever we go this week. C.T. Studd, a great missionary of Christ, had four lines that he loved to quote. And this is those lines. It says, "Some want to live with the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." That is, he wanted to get out where people were and to bring them Christ so they could come to know him as well. Don't be like the Pharisees. Be like Christ. Never look down your nose at anyone. Never look at someone and think they're beyond God's help, that they do not deserve God's help. Remember, we are all by nature guilty sinners, not worthy of God's love. But God cared for you so much, he gave his Son, as he did for all those outside these walls as well. They need to come to know him. They need to trust in Christ. And as they come, the Bible says in Christ, he will accept them. Remember, Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners. No one is beyond hope. No one. So we need to keep getting out there, taking those opportunities. Keep praying. Keep shining as we live our lives for Christ. Keep inviting others, giving this invite that Christ has given that still goes out today. Christ still calls people, follow me. Let's keep taking opportunities to pass that invite out wherever we go. And there are lots of opportunities to do that. David even announced one at the very beginning. The little choral service. It seems so long away. Choral service at the co-op. 8th of December. There are lots of opportunities like this. When you hear them, don't simply think, well, that's nice. Take some of those leaflets. Pray that God will direct you and pass them out. Invite others. Take these opportunities so others will come to know Christ as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much, you gave us your Son, who forgave us for our sins. We thank you. We thank you that no one is beyond your help, that anyone can come to know you through trusting in Christ as you challenge them through your Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us never look down on anyone, never exclude anyone, but give us opportunities, even this incoming week, to show your love to those around us and to take the opportunity to pass on your invitation that others will come and follow you too. Lord, help us be faithful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We finish our service today as we sing Soldiers of Christ. After we sing Soldiers of Christ, we will be pronouncing the benediction, and then we will all stand at the very end of the service and sing the national anthem. So now, let us stand and sing Soldiers of Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.